This is an Alachua Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, May 24th, 2014. This week in security news, starting first in the Asia-Pacific region, on multiple occasions this week, Alachua subscribers were notified via text messages to their mobile devices regarding what started Monday as a declaration of martial law in Thailand and which has since evolved into a military coup. The events have unfolded after 6 months of increasingly violent and destabilizing protests over political infighting and government corruption. Following bitter meetings on Wednesday and early Thursday between rival political factions and Thai military representatives, the commander-in-chief of the Royal Thai Army is reported to have slammed his hand on the negotiating table in anger and stated, "I have decided to seize power." Since that time, a nationwide curfew has been put into effect from 10 p.m. to 5 a.m. The Thai constitution has been scrapped, with the exception of a section recognizing the king as the head of state. The commander-in-chief of the Royal Thai Army has assumed the responsibilities of acting prime minister and has ordered all radio and TV stations, including satellite and cable, to cease broadcasting their own content and to simulcast the army TV station in order to prevent the spread of misinformation. Schools nationwide have been ordered closed until at least Monday, and a strict ban on public gatherings numbering more than 5 people has been put into effect. Shots have been fired by Thai Army soldiers in order to disperse crowds, and border crossing points with Laos have been sealed so as to prevent political antagonists from fleeing the country. For those wondering why we are paying attention to events in Thailand, the capital, Bangkok, is the most frequently printed international airline destination on plane tickets in the world. In 2013, just under 16 million foreign visitors arrived in the capital, and of that number, more than 800,000 were Americans. Further, tens of thousands of Americans reside in the country. The United States and Thailand have shared a long-standing friendship spanning more than 175 years, exchanging cooperation cover a range of areas, including education and culture, public health, business and trade, as well as close security and military cooperation. The Joint U.S. Military Advisory Group Thailand, also known as JUSMAGTHAI, oversees an average of 40 different combined military exercises with Thai forces annually, one of the largest international military education and training programs in the world. Despite these seemingly close ties, the State Department says the U.S. was given no advanced warning of the coup and on Thursday announced that they have taken preliminary steps to suspend military engagement and assistance. Secretary of State John Kerry stated that there is no justification for the military coup and he's urged the restoration of the civilian government. The U.S., Canada, Australia, the U.K., and several other countries are warning their citizens in Thailand of the volatility and danger of the situation and of the need to strictly obey the local laws, steer well clear of all protests and large gatherings, to maintain situational awareness, and to pay attention to local news reports. Alachua SA continues to closely monitor the overall situation in Thailand and will immediately notify service subscribers of changes in the overall threat environment or significant upgrades in travel guidance by the U.S. State Department as events warrant. Moving a little bit to the east, this week Russia and China began joint naval drills in the East China Sea. Known as Joint Sea 2014, the week-long drills will be a combined operation acting against a hypothetical aggressor rather than the two countries operating separately during the exercise. This is the first time the Chinese Navy has worked so closely with a foreign maritime force. While the two countries have previously held two joint military exercises, defense analysts state that China and Russia are learning from the example set by Western countries, such as those currently underway with NATO, where separate military forces mix together. It also directly demonstrates a dramatic increase in trust between Beijing and Moscow. The drill, being held in the East China Sea between Shanghai and Japan, includes ships, submarines, fixed-wing aircraft, and shipboard helicopters. The exercises are reported to include defensive and attacking maneuvers, anti-submarine warfare, search and rescue operations, the storming of hijacked ships, as well as joint efforts to identify aircraft flying over the East China Sea, where Beijing recently established a highly controversial air identification zone. On Tuesday the 20th, the second day of the drills, Russia carried out yet another test firing of a Topol-M nuclear-capable intercontinental ballistic missile from a launch facility approximately 450 miles from the Ukrainian border. As opposed to using an impact range on the Kamchatka Peninsula in the Pacific, this time a target range in Kazakhstan was utilized, well away from the ongoing joint military drills. According to the Russian Defense Ministry, the purpose of the launch was to test a new combat payload for future ICBMs, reportedly capable of carrying up to 10 advanced warheads and hypersonic vehicles. In order to fill out the picture on the increasing closeness of ties between Russia and China, we thought it would be interesting to note that Russian President Vladimir Putin was in Beijing during the first 3 days of the military drills, during which he signed a massive $400 billion natural gas supply agreement with the Chinese, one which the industry refers to as the Holy Grail of gas deals. The agreement is viewed as a windfall for both countries. For Russia, it means the addition of a major customer at a time where the West is imposing sanctions, and for the Chinese, as they are reported to have scored major price concessions, not to mention the fact that the product will be delivered via overland pipelines as opposed to by sea. It is also important to point out that the countries will settle payments in rubles and yuan, adding to the list of countries moving away from the petrodollar. This leads us next to an update on the standoff between Vietnam and China over drilling for oil within Vietnam's territorial waters. On Monday of this week, Alert USA subscribers were notified via text messages to their mobile devices that China was massing military forces in the two provinces along Vietnam's northern border. Since that time, and perhaps because of the importance of the meeting between the Russian and Chinese heads of state in Beijing, it is highly likely that Vietnamese officials were given a tap on the shoulder by Russia, with whom they maintain a long-standing military alliance, and told to back off, at least temporarily. There have been no reports of a pullback of Chinese troops from the border, and Chinese nationals continue to evacuate the country. In concluding this regional report, we would like to point out to listeners that the Asia-Pacific region is rapidly turning into the next global hotspot. Conflicts are simmering between China and Japan, China and Taiwan, China and the Philippines, China and Vietnam, there's a military coup currently underway in Thailand, and the U.S. is seemingly right in the middle of it all, due to the ongoing pivot of military forces to the region, as well as defense alliances with a number of different nations. As always, Alert USA continues to closely monitor developments in this region and will immediately notify service subscribers of changes in the overall threat environment as events warrant. Moving next to a brief update on events in the Ukraine, the country is scheduled to hold presidential elections this Sunday, May 25th. Russian President Vladimir Putin stated late this week that Russia would respect the will of the Ukrainian people, though they would be watching closely to see what happens as violence flares in the eastern part of the country as government forces attempt to crush pro-Russian separatists. Despite his words, few expect that Putin will sit tight if a Western-friendly president is elected. Late this week, a spokesman for Russia's defense ministry threatened to take action against the buildup of NATO forces on the Russian border. At least a dozen Ukrainian soldiers have been killed and more than 30 injured in just the last few days of fighting. Late this week, Western military officials confirmed there is some pullback of Russian ground forces along the border, although they said large numbers still remain. In addition, as previously reported by Alert USA Threat Journal, Russia plans on conducting massive air defense drills involving dozens of fighter jets and attack helicopters this weekend and during the elections. Here again, Alert USA continues to closely monitor developments in the region and will immediately notify service subscribers of changes in the overall threat environment as events warrant. Next up, in one of the most stunning pieces of news to emerge this week, which gives an indication of the tectonic shift in thinking of the country, the FBI may become the first national security-related organization in the U.S. to hire active drug users. FBI Director James B. Comey said Monday that if the Bureau hopes to continue to keep pace with cyber criminals, such as the five Chinese hackers indicted this week for stealing information from six American companies across the energy, metals, and manufacturing industries, the organization may have to loosen up on its no-tolerance policy for hiring those who like to smoke marijuana. Speaking before an annual conference held at the New York City Bar Association in Manhattan, Director Comey stated that cybercrime is a growing priority for the agency, and that's a problem as many of the nation's top computer programmers and hacking gurus are also fond of marijuana. Quoting Director Comey, "I have to hire a great workforce to compete with those cybercriminals, and some of those kids want to smoke weed on the way to the interview." One conference goer reportedly asked Director Comey about a friend who had shied away from applying because of the Bureau's 3 years no-use policy. Comey's response? He should go ahead and apply, despite the marijuana use. In travel security news, in addition to updated travel warnings for the Philippines, North Korea, and Iran, we remind listeners that there are currently more than 36 countries around the world specifically identified by the U.S. government as posing significant risks for U.S. citizens. These travel notices are in addition to a U.S. government-issued worldwide caution for Americans, warning of the continuing threat of terrorist actions and violence against U.S. citizens and interests globally. As always, if you are planning travel abroad, even to such common locations as the Caribbean, Mexico, or Europe, keep personal safety and health in the forefront of your planning and regularly check the U.S. State Department's travel website, where information can be found about the security situation at your destination. This has been an Alert USA Threat Journal National Situation Update for the week ending Saturday, May 24th, 2014.